This is Shannon Nelson for CEO.ca. Recently, I had the opportunity of having a conversation with mining entrepreneur Mark O'Day. Mark's a 45-year-old Newfoundland geologist who is a past recipient of the AMEBC's Murray Pessim Award and who is well known in industry circles as the man who took a million-dollar shell in 2001 and developed it into a mining entity that sold just 10 years later for a whopping $2.3 billion. That company was Frontier Gold, and if a great track record counts for anything in the junior resource world, and it does, Mark O'Day is clearly someone you want to watch in the future. We chatted briefly about the experience of developing Frontier Gold during a decade that was definitely favorable for junior miners. Mark and his team were obviously good at finding deposits and creating value in the ground relatively quickly.
What we were able to do at Frontier, which really lent itself well to our skill set as a team, was recognize opportunities at an early stage, at an inflection point in their trajectory, and very quickly drill off resources in the ground, wrap some economics around them, and present a legitimate development stage opportunity that could then be valued in the market. And that steep part of the curve is really the sweet spot in the whole mining continuum. It's where the bulk of the value is created. And that discovery phase is the engine that, in our view, drives the whole resource sector and really ought to continue driving the sector in the future.
So times now are different. I mean, it's been kind of a rough couple of years. What's your strategy as a company builder in this environment? Has it changed?
Well, the model has changed dramatically, and it shifted about 2 years ago, and companies have been trying to catch up ever since. And the paradigm or the model now revolves around scaling a project to the right size to maximize returns and profitability. It's less about making a deposit as big as you possibly can by, you know, lowering the cutoff grade to capture more ounces, and it's less about sort of in situ value in the ground. It's a lot more about making a project smaller, more nimble, less capital intensive, more financeable, and ultimately more profitable. So we're seeing projects, in a lot of ways, we're seeing projects shrink. And investors are demanding that companies get more rigorous in how they scale and build projects. And that's quite different to what investors were demanding of the resource sector 5 years ago. It was all about size and growth.
Mm-hmm. I know that you currently have two companies. Let's start with True Gold and the Burkina Faso project. That's in French West Africa, am I right?
That's right.
Okay, that's a long way away. What are some of the challenges developing a mine there?
Well, as it turns out, this has been a really refreshing experience for our group, getting into West Africa and Burkina Faso in particular. I'd never worked in West Africa. Mm-hmm. I'd worked in that direction as far east as Turkey, and we continue to work in Turkey. And going into Burkina Faso for the first time, you know, I had my eyes open, and I was really going in with not a lot of preconceived ideas, but wanted to really determine whether this was a jurisdiction that we could build a business in.
Mm-hmm.
And what we came away from and what we continue to be incredibly adamant about in our conviction in Burkina Faso is that it really is a jurisdiction, one of the best in the world, in which to build a mining business efficiently and quickly. And I know that the general North American investor doesn't view West Africa as having the same risk profile as, say, investing in the Americas. They're a lot more familiar with the Americas. And West Africa is viewed as sort of much more mysterious place with different kinds of risks. But when you look at what traditionally hangs up mining projects around the world, and in particular in the Americas, there are issues related to permitting, social license, water, native rights, and the list goes on. And what we're finding in Burkina Faso is that a lot of those issues are not there. And over the last year, we've been able to get the project through really important milestones with broad community support, with social license, through the permitting phase to the point a year later where we're at the mining permit phase, and we anticipate having our mining permit within the next few months. And I can't, other than Turkey perhaps, I can't imagine that having happened at that pace in any other jurisdiction. So it's been a really positive experience.
They're happy to have you there.
They are happy.
And I know that you've got an interest in Turkey through your other company, Pilot Gold. But let's get back to True Gold. You've been able to attract some pretty impressive investors so far, most notably Teck Resources and Liberty Metals and Mining. That's a pretty strong show of confidence.
It really is. And I think it's a strong endorsement. And I think investors out there looking at True Gold can confidently sort of view those investments as a proxy for sort of their own due diligence on the project. Liberty came in after months of due diligence, and Teck had been involved in one of our projects in Burkina Faso as a joint venture partner in the mid-2000s, so was familiar with the platform. And having both of them in, I think, signals a bit of a new approach to raising capital in this market. And you know, we're in an environment right now where capital's tight. A lot of the flows that were there 2 years ago have evaporated. All the liquidity is kind of pulled out of the resource sector, and all your traditional resource funds have basically lost, you know, 50-80% of their assets under management. Mm-hmm. And so going back to those traditional sources of capital is in many ways fruitless right now. And so what we've tried to do as a group is navigate through this new landscape and find new sort of non-traditional sources of capital to advance our projects. And what really appealed to Liberty, for example, was the stage of our project, the fact that it was advanced enough so that it could be quantified in terms of what its ultimate value could be in terms of a mining project. And the capital intensity or the amount of capital needed to build the mine was not a lot. So for $125 million or $130 million in capital that's going to be required to build this mine, there's not a lot of projects out there that have that low capital intensity that can transform themselves from a developer to a producer.
In the next year, what can investors expect from True Gold?
Within the next year, we'll have within the next month, we'll start with that. Before year end, we'll have our feasibility study completed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We should be approaching final permit, so the exploitation permit for our project should be out by year-end or January at the latest is our estimate.
Right.
And then that will be followed by a production decision and project financing decision, and then mid-next year we'll start development.
Let's talk for a bit about your other company, Pilot Gold. Not quite as advanced as True Gold, but operating in Turkey and Nevada. You mentioned Turkey a little earlier on. What are some of the challenges there?
There's a lot of similarities to Burkina. We've been in Turkey for about 10 years now as a group. We've been operating there under various joint venture deals with Teck for 10 years. We got in 2004. And we've had a lot of success. So the exploration potential there is tremendous. There's a region in Turkey called the Biga Peninsula, which is northwestern Turkey, where there's huge endowment of gold and copper that we've been able to sort of get on the map and drill off.
Right.
And right now we're advancing two projects jointly with Teck. One's called TV Tower and one's called Hali La. And they're both fantastic projects in their own right. Hali La is the first big porphyry found in this jurisdiction, and that discovery is credited to our joint venture. And TV Tower, we should have a resource out on a new discovery there called KCD by the year end. And we've just put together a new target called K2, which is an outstanding looking 4 kilometer long gold system that we think is going to generate a lot of positive news.
So let's talk about gold for a minute. What's your outlook?
Well, that's a good question. You know, the gold itself hasn't done too badly. I mean, it's the gold equities that have really suffered and been punished severely.
Right.
So gold's still hanging in around $1,300. And sort of long-term consensus views, you know, hover around, you know, $1,300 to $1,400. So gold's kind of done its thing. And as the world, as the U.S. in particular, continues to print more money and devalue its currency, as long as gold is chosen as the backstop for value, then gold ought to continue doing what it's supposed to do, and that is being a store of value. The gold equities, on the other hand, have been so severely beaten down that I read the other day that they're at a 30-year low relative to the price of the commodity.
Wow.
So they've decoupled so much that I can only imagine that we're very close to a bottom here, and value investors are going to realize that it's time to come back in, and money flows will start coming back into the resource sector because they represent such a good value opportunity. And businesses have been taking proactive measures to sort of clean up their act, and mining companies have been rationalizing assets, paying down debt. You know, they've been posting, you know, profitable quarterly earnings, et cetera. So I think there's big improvements, systemic improvements in the whole sector, and that'll herald in kind of a new flow of investment in over the next year or so.
Are there other commodities that you find attractive in this market?
We have exposure to two other commodities as a group. We have copper exposure in Turkey, which I think is, you know, the fundamentals for copper are very, very strong. And copper's held in there extremely well. And we have a very good exposure to copper in this copper-gold porphyry called Halila, which we jointly own with Teck and Pilot. And we also have exposure to, it's a contrarian pick, really, we have exposure to nickel in a private nickel company that we formed about a year ago called True North Nickel. And we acquired a huge tract of ground up in the Raglan Belt in northern Quebec, a long strike from Raglan and Jill and Jen's new nickel mine up there. We call it the West Raglan Belt, and we've just drilled off about 12 high-grade nickel sulfide TGE lenses that look identical to what they're mining at Raglan. So that's something we're working on quietly, and when nickel fundamentals work in our favor, then we'll roll it out.
Mark, any other jurisdictions other than where you are now that you find interesting?
There are other jurisdictions in West Africa that we would go look in, and obviously we'd go to various parts in Canada. But I'm not really keen on the Americas these days.
Really?
Not so much, no.
Why not?
I find that the tide's turning a little bit in the Americas, and permitting issues are rife everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
Social unrest and, you know, land tenure issues, Aboriginal issues, and it makes for a very difficult path to production.
Right. I shouldn't put you on the spot like this, but are there any other companies we should be paying attention to?
There's companies out there that I like for different reasons. For companies, for example, that share a lot of attributes to True Gold that are low capital heap leach projects. I like Sullivan.
Right.
I like, and I don't own any of these stocks, but I like them.
Mm-hmm.
Kaminak, I think, is a good name for sort of an area play with underpinned by a good asset in Yukon.
Mm-hmm.
I like Probe in Ontario. And as producers, I think D2 and Alamos are really strong and delivering on their promises.
You mentioned earlier when we were chatting, Mark, that you had terrific mentors when you first started out. Is that something that you are doing yourself now that you're established?
I like to think that I am. And, you know, we're making room within our organization for younger people to move up and experience different components of the business. So I really do want our group to be sort of a fertile ground for breeding new CEOs.
Right.
And I hope our group members feel that way.
Mark O'Day is passionate about his work, and particularly about prospecting. However, he concedes that what he's prospecting for these days is investors. Thanks, Mark, and thank you for listening. I'm Shannon Nelson for CEO.ca.